Holy Gospel for this 4th of July is found in the 11th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 28th verse. The words of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated. For the message, I'd like to mention a couple things. First of all, if you aren't already doing so, I invite you to join us for the online Bible study that we're offering every week. You'll find a link to it from the What's Happening email that goes out every Friday, and it's based upon the scripture readings for the following Sunday. And the Bible study for today was particularly focusing on our second reading and what for me is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, where Paul learned that God's grace is sufficient for him. And then the second, you'll find in the back a display with the sparklers for 4th of July. And there's a verse there from Zechariah 9:16. "The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown." Please help yourself afterwards for any that remain to celebrate this great nation that God has given us the privilege to be able to live in. And as we celebrate the 245th birthday of our nation, I thought that you might enjoy some comments from an unknown author, comments entitled "Only in America." Only in America can you get a pizza to your home faster than an ambulance. Only in America do people order a double cheeseburger, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do banks leave their doors unlocked and open, and then they chain the pens to the desk, the counters. Only in America do we screen phone calls and then have call waiting for so that we'll not miss a call from a person that we really do not want to talk with in the first place. And only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. It's only in America. Someone once asked, "Where does the word politics come from?" And he was given the answer, "It's from two words. From poly, which means many, and ticks, which are blood-sucking creatures." And that seems to be becoming more true all the time, isn't it? Well, a little over 30 years ago, the Hymnal Revision Committee of a major Protestant denomination in the United States was preparing a new hymnal for their church conference. And this conference, the annual national conference, was going to be unveiling this new hymnal. And this committee was struggling with the words to the hymn, "Battle Hymn of the Republic." And they had problems with a phrase, "As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free." And they were asking the question, is freedom for others really worth dying for? Well, we all know that there is another wording that goes, "As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free." And that raises the question, which is more difficult and which is more commendable? To live for a cause or to die for a cause? Or however we answer that question, those words cause us to ask ourselves, what in my life do I value so much that I would be willing to give my life for it? Well, today we celebrate Independence Day, though it probably would be more accurate to say that today we celebrate Declaration of Independence Day. Because we all know that merely signing the Declaration of Independence, even in the huge letters way that John Hancock signed it, just signing that declaration did not establish our independence. King George of England did not read the declaration and then send an email to Thomas Jefferson saying, "Nice piece of writing, Tom. Enjoy your freedom and please send me a postcard from Williamsburg." No, it took 7 long years of struggle for the colonies to be able to gain their independence? Have we forgotten the amount of struggle that was involved in, as well as the huge price that was paid for this noble experiment in democracy? Do we cherish, really cherish, and do we give thanks for this wonderful land that we are privileged to live in? Or are we afraid of the word patriotic because we think that the word patriotic would be associated with a fanatic lunatic fringe? Well, there was a refugee family that was really excited about being able to live in America, especially the six-year-old daughter, who quickly adopted the viewpoint that everything in America was not only the best, it was also perfect. Well, one day a neighbor told her that she, the neighbor, was going to be having a baby. And so little Mary marched home and demanded to know why she could not also have a baby. Her mother decided it was time to tell her a little bit about the facts of life, and so among other things, she explained to her daughter that it takes 9 months for a baby to arrive. 9 months, exclaimed little Mary indignantly. But mother, this is America. Well, even in America, some things take time. We love our country, and we're glad and fortunate to be able to live in our country, but I know that none of us believes that our country is perfect. And when something is wrong, we need to speak up and be a part of making it right and doing something about it. In fact, not speaking up against wrong would be wrong. To be patriotic does not mean that we think that everything about our country and everything that our country does is right. But it does mean that we give thanks and we value the sacrifice of our forebearers who wanted this democracy, this country, to be extraordinary. Now, many gave their lives so that we would be able to be a free people, just like many gave their lives so that we would be able to have the Christian faith today. And now it is our time and it is our turn to maintain and build on what was passed on to us. That's what it means to be patriotic. And how do we do that? How do we maintain and help pass on what we have been given? Well, this morning I would like to give us three ways. First, we need to remember where we came from. Very few of us probably trace our ancestry back to aristocracy. Rather, most of our descendants are among those huddled masses yearning to breathe free that Emma Lazarus wrote so many generations ago. And her words are inscribed at the base of the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, which stands proudly in New York City Harbor to welcome millions of immigrants to America. In Matthew 11, our gospel for today, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And who that believes and follows Jesus can read and hear those words and not be reminded of the words in the plaque at the base of the Statue of Liberty? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse from your teeming shores, send these, the homeless tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp besides the golden door. And when France was about to present to America a statue entitled "Liberty Enlightening the World," the agreement was that America would provide the pedestal. And a Jewish woman by the name of Emma Lazarus was to contribute a poem. Emma Lazarus wrote the poem, but in October 1886, when the Statue of Liberty was dedicated, she was gravely ill and she was not able to attend. And she died later at the age of 38. Her life was short, but her words live on, engraved at the base of the Statue of Liberty. Yes, we need to remember where we came from. Except for our Native American friends, we are a nation of immigrants. Most of us trace our ancestry back to many different peoples coming from many different lands, which is why we need to continue to be a nation that welcomes strangers with kindness and compassion. Oh, we also know that we need to have safe borders, especially in the kind of world that we live in today. But we also need to remember our national story as well as our individual stories. We maintain and build on what we have been given as we remember where we came from. And then second, we need to remember what we stand for. Growing up in a black ghetto in Baltimore, young Thurgood Marshall was an eager, though unwilling, student of the United States Constitution. Thurgood Marshall often had to stay after school because of his behavior during school. And for each infraction of one of the rules, he was required to memorize a portion of the U.S. Constitution. And as a result, he soon knew the entire Constitution as a child by heart. Now, most of us would be doing well to just be able to repeat the preamble to the Constitution by heart. You know, we, the people in the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, we probably all learned that in eighth grade. But Thurgood Marshall, as a young boy, soon knew the entire U.S. Constitution by heart. And his grade school teachers would probably be astonished if they would have known at the time that their unruly pupil would one day put all of that knowledge of the U.S. Constitution into practice as a distinguished attorney, and then as our nation's first African-American Supreme Court justice. Yes, we need to remember what we stand for. Wouldn't it be great if all of us knew the U.S. Constitution by heart, or maybe if all of us even read the U.S. Constitution? We are a people whose national existence depends upon our national documents, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we would add a fourth document, the Bible. Yes, you see, the words at the base of the Statue of Liberty tell us where we came from. The words in our national documents tell us what we stand for. And then third, we need to remember the sacrifices that were made on our behalf. This land is ours today because of the men and women who gave their lives. A man by the name of Dick Abel tells of meeting some prisoners of war who had been recently released from a prison camp in Vietnam. And Dick Abel was the first man that these American prisoners had seen after more than 8 years of captivity. And some of them had been in solitary confinement for 4 years. And Abel tells of standing in awe as he heard their leader give a message to the free world. Speaking on behalf of the whole group, the leader said, "Thank you for the privilege of serving." Yes, you see, there are heroes left in our world today. There are men and women in each and every generation who have literally been willing to give their lives for their country. And we owe a huge debt to every single one of them. Dick Abel tells about meeting one of the prisoners, a man by the name of James Robinson, or Robbie Rissner. He was a professional fighter pilot in the United States Air Force. And the picture on the left is a picture of Robbie Rissner, which appeared on the cover of Time magazine. And after Rissner was captured by the North Vietnamese, he was confronted during the interrogation with this picture. And he was told that because of this picture on Time magazine, his capture was very highly sought after and deeply coveted. And the picture on the right is a 9-foot-tall statue of Rich Rissner that stands on the grounds of the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And that statue was made 9 feet tall because of a comment that he made while talking about his comrades singing the Star-Spangled Banner and God Bless America. He said, when I heard them singing those songs, I felt like I was 9 feet tall and that I could go bear hunting with a switch. And after being released from prison in North Vietnam, he said, to make it, I prayed. It was automatic, almost subconscious. I did not ask God to take me out of it. Rather, I prayed that God would give me the strength to endure it. And when it got so bad that I did not think that I would be able to stand it one day longer, I would ask God to ease it just enough so that somehow I would be able to make it through. I knew I could not have lived through it if I had not been able to pray. Well, in our gospel lesson for today, in the same place where Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus also said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In Bible times, there are two oxen that were linked together by means of a wooden yoke across their necks to help distribute evenly the weight of the load. And isn't it interesting that the one who was the carpenter said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I bet the yokes that Jesus made as a carpenter fit absolutely perfectly. Together, two oxen were able to pull a weight far greater than either one of them would be able to pull by itself. When we are yoked to Jesus, we are better able to stand up for the things we believe in. When we are yoked to Jesus, we are better able to repay the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf. And so this morning on this Independence Day, or Declaration of Independence Day, we thank God. We thank God for the people who came before us, who made it possible for us to worship in freedom today. And we thank God for the words that are inscribed at the base of the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Words which remind us of the words of Jesus, which we also give thanks for. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen.